made you. I'll break a thousand more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Now, Bill Cunningham, the great American, great to have you with me this afternoon. Reds baseball kicks off tonight. Games against the Cubs most of this week. And then the Reds continue on, but still picking up the pieces of the solar eclipse, which happened yesterday, of course, coming up at 1-6 today. Is a good friend of Congressman Brad Wenstrup. That is Dean Regas picking up the pieces of literally thousands of 911 calls around the country claiming something was happening in the skies. We're going to play some of those calls for you later on, but first, let's continue with my friend and yours, Brad Wenstrup. Congressman Brad Wenstrup, welcome again to the Bill Cunningham Show. Dr. Brad, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Willie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Now, you know, many of us marched into Afghanistan. People like you marched in the Middle East beginning, I think, about November of 01. We're now about 16 years later without measurable effect. Is what the president said last night, from your perspective, as an American veteran and a congressman, good, bad, or something in the middle?
I thought it was good. I mean, as a soldier, what we now have is a mission that is defined, because really when we have a mission that's anything less than victory, it's disheartening and it's dangerous to all those involved. And I also applaud the fact that he's not spelling out everything that we're going to be doing, that we're fighting terrorism, and I'm pleased what he talked about. We're not there to nation build, but we are there to make sure that our country is secure and people can't be in those areas and plot against the United States of America.
Is there a chance, a good chance of success as a normal God-fearing American? If you've been fighting in a war with America for 16 years without measurable effect, and we've had as many as 110,000 soldiers there, now I guess we're going to have 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 total. Well, how do we know we won?
Well, I would say that we win when Afghanistan can mind its own without us being there. That would be a big part of it. And I'm not saying that that won't take some time, and maybe we always need some type of presence, at least in the neighborhood. But, you know, the president used a quote last night. He goes, "We always face down evil." And when we take that as our mantra and we really go after that and keep that in mind, we succeed. You know, we succeeded in Iraq, but the problem was that we left, and sometimes that's the thing. But we didn't need the nation built there, and we don't need the nation built in Afghanistan, and I hope that we don't do that. And there can be tremendous savings when we're not doing that. I also like that he called out Pakistan. Pakistan is a key player in this region. This is a regional effort that we have to maintain. How many troops are going to be involved and how we go about it remains to be seen. But, you know, if you think of like World War II, they always talk about taking out the ball bearing plant, taking out what drives it, taking out what lets the war machine go on for our enemy. That's really what we need to do, and we need to stop them in their tracks. And I think that it's the right move and good for America. I hope that we have success, and I think all Americans should be standing behind the president and his team that have made this decision.
Congressman, what were the rules of engagement that Trump referred to that were so obstreperous and so tight and so bad under Obama that we could not adequately win? Can you be specific about what Bush or Obama did with rules of engagement that Trump is now lessening? What are they?
Well, some of the things that were in place, and I'll speak in generalities, but they truly existed. You were might be after a certain target, and if you could not just get that target, then all bets were off, as though all the people that were with this particular target were good people. That was a problem, and so we often saw failures. You know, if you saw Lone Survivor, you saw what those guys went through when they were facing a group in front of them where they were really after one person, but because of the rules of engagement, they had to be backing off and not able to just take that on swiftly. I think those are the types of things. There were actually rules of engagement that would say that if a certain number is present, you have to have special permission to attack. And I don't think that's how you win wars, when you're constantly trying to decide if you're complying with a rule based on a certain number. I think what's going to happen now is we're going to fight to win. We're going to fight to develop a partner so that they can win. and the notion of strategic patience is gone. Because that, to me, was just saying, I'm just trying to get through my administration and leave it for the next guy. I don't think this president wants to do that.
Haven't the rules of engagement under Bush, and then they exacerbated under Obama, got killed many American soldiers? Lone Survivor is one of my favorite movies. And when those guys had to let some shepherds go and they couldn't fire because the target, some Taliban or terrorist leader, was around a bunch of his buddies, they couldn't fire. Is it actually true, when you were in theater in Iraq, was there talk among the men and women serving there that we could do much better in this war, but we can't do it because of the rules of engagement?
Yeah, I think the rules of engagement became much stricter after my time in theater. And I think that is a definite detriment, and it keeps people second-guessing themselves all the time. The idea is, Mattis has said something to the effect is, you know, our job is to break stuff, and our job is to win wars. And that's what our military has to be focused on. And we can do it in a variety of different ways. And I applaud the president for not spelling those out, because that's the last thing that our troops need as they go into battle. I mean, to say, for example, well, we're going to go to Mosul in 4 months. That is unbelievable. Why would you do that? That goes against the grain of all military strategy that I've ever known.
You know, one of the things that I talked to World War II veterans 20 years ago, and I spoke to some Vietnam War veterans. Well, what do you think American soldiers did in the field if they happened to capture one, two, or three German Nazi soldiers or Viet Cong, and you're miles and miles away from the base? You don't want to send people back with that captured individual and transport him miles away. You don't want to let him go, like in Saving Private Ryan, because you send him back. What do you think those soldiers did, whether it was in the bush or out in Germany or France? What'd they do with those soldiers?
You know, that I can't speak to, but I imagine that they did what they needed to do to try and win the war.
Correct.
You know, and things were far different in the Pacific than they were in the European theater, as far as POWs, et cetera. So I don't know, but the main thing was, if this means we win the war and I get to go home to my family, that's the important thing. And I hope that that's pretty much what we maintain. And I'm not saying break the Geneva Convention but make it so that it's a fair fight and that you're actually trying to win at the end of the day. No one wants collateral damage. We can do things very pinpoint. But you can't be tying the hands of those that are trying to win the battle on behalf of the country.
Well, what's the atmosphere in Washington as far as cooperation with Democrats? I guess you're going back in a couple weeks, and then all hell's going to break loose once again with the budget. You have the debt limit. You have tax reform. I listened to your buddy Paul Ryan last night on CNN. He talked about tax reform, all that kind of stuff. Is there a sense of complete, absolute chaos in Washington? I know you hope it wasn't but whenever a Democrat talks, I have a sense the world's about to end. When I try to watch CNN, it paints a picture of America that exists only in their mind, with chaos everywhere. Charlottesville council meeting last night was chaotic. We're taking down Confederate memorials, I guess, in Franklin, Ohio, which I didn't even know they existed. We got all hell breaking loose. I know you might give me the politically correct answer, but in 2 weeks, is there a sense that Democrats and Republicans can work together? Because I sense there isn't.
I don't sense that it's going to happen from the Democrat side on the big picture stuff. I will tell you that in my committees, for example, Armed Services, the National Defense Authorization Act, we passed it out of committee 60-1. VA committee, we're passing bills that are going bipartisan in nature. And often there is much conversation one-on-one, two-on-two, Republicans and Democrats. A lot of times it's when the cameras roll that
right.
It gets different. And
right.
And Democrats are different than Republicans. Republicans are independent free thinkers. Democrats, more often than not, are being pulled together and then told what to say, do, and think. And they go out and do it, especially on big votes. That's a problem for us, and that makes it more challenging. And until the American people start insisting that their representatives represent, then I think we're going to continue to see that. But to be honest with you, I don't think it's helping their cause. I don't think that it helps them in the long run. And so that I hope that we see less of that as we move forward and try and get things done for the betterment of the American people. But as it is right now on the big picture items, it seems that they just back away. And if you watch Paul Ryan last night, he talked about what we are for.
Right.
And he didn't do what I so often see from the other side, is just have the other side berating Republicans and just putting it down, rather than coming forward with what they would like to see. Even when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, health care, Chuck Schumer was asked, well, are you going to engage in this? And all he goes, well, no, not as long as they're talking about repeal.
No.
Well, that's not leadership. How does that help? Give us some idea. Give America some idea of how you think it should be, because if you still think it's the Affordable Care Act, you must know that it's falling on its face and can't sustain itself.
Lastly, what about the Trump tonight in Phoenix? I'm reading some of the national stuff going on. Mass protest is expected. Thousands are going to show up. I know Trump campaigned on the idea that Obama spent too much time campaigning. And are you concerned that the toxic atmosphere in the country, whether it's at a Charlottesville council meeting last night where the left-wing chaos broke out, monuments taken down in Franklin, Ohio, that frankly nobody knew even existed. Tonight in Phoenix, all hell's going to break loose. The radical left, the Antifa crowd's going to be there. Trump's going to be there. Are you just, and I'm looking at a column here in the New York Post from Al Sharpton, quote, any match could lead to a large explosion in this country. I guess I have a sense something bad's about to happen. Do you wish, in a sense, of course, if Trump doesn't go out to Phoenix and stays in Washington, he's going to be viewed as a coward. If he goes out there and all hell breaks loose, that's bad. If some cop in Philadelphia shoots somebody who's unarmed that's black, all hell's going to break loose. Last weekend, six cops were shot and two murdered. The two cops that were murdered were murdered by a self-professed black nationalist who was a supporter of Black Lives Matter. The media didn't cover six cops getting shot at all. And do you have a sense bad things are about to happen somewhere? Because I have a sense something bad's going to happen.
Well, it was just 2 months ago that as Republican congressmen, we were under fire at a ballpark. So something bad has already happened personally in my life. And do I sense that? I hope not. I hope that if nothing else, I mean, I'm hopeful. If my glass is half full, maybe we're having conversations today and enough of it is enough. And, you know, we're trying to let cooler heads prevail. Let's see if those in leadership can actually do that, can tone the rhetoric down. I remember the day after the shooting, Nancy Pelosi said, well, it's all because Republicans tried to impeach Bill Clinton. And that's what started all this. I mean, this doesn't help. So let's hope the cooler heads prevail and people start realizing that as a nation, we're better when we're together. We're going to debate policy. We should always do that. But goodness sakes, let's put our people and our country first.
By the way, you were there, of course, and you tended to Steve Scalise. How's he doing today, do you know?
Well, he actually was on a phone call with us yesterday, and he sounded good. He is in rehab. He's out of the hospital. He's got a ways to go, but he sounds good. His spirits are good. And I'm looking forward to him coming back as soon as possible.
Why do you think the national media, after a day or two, basically ignored the entire event, which was an attempted assassination of Republican, the leadership in the country, that a Bernie Sanders supporter took a rifle, drove there from Illinois, and tried to decapitate the leadership of the United States of America? It was a 1 or 2 day story. Why is that?
I don't know. I think that's a shame. I think that's media driven, right? It didn't fit the narrative that they want to project, and that's just a fact. And I think that that's why. And so that was over and done in no time, which was one of my fears. I was hoping that we would do better than that afterwards. I took the opportunity to try and spread a better message.
Right.
But
no,
it just didn't last very long.
Brad Winstrup, you're a great American. See what happens tonight. And thanks for coming on the Bill Cunningham Show. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Willie. Take care.
God bless America. Let's continue with more. You and I opened for quite a period of time here. Dean Regas in about 45 minutes. But your calls now at 749-7000. Bill Cunningham, 700 WLW.